We told you that we would return, and we did not lie to you. We have returned to give you answers. Not all, but some. This return was brought to you by Casper, a company that makes very good mattresses for the times when you are dreaming and vulnerable. Get $50 off your mattress when you go to casper.com/deadsignals and enter the promo code deadsignals. That's casper.com/deadsignals.
We are recording, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
And you are absolutely certain the technical gizmos and gadgets are all exactly where they need to be?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I will hold you to that, Foleyman. Alice, Patricia, come forward.
Am I close enough, Mr. Waters?
2 inches more, Alice.
Oh, okay. Is this...
No. Place your head directly here, and don't speak directly into the microphone. You would not want to pop your peas.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Mr. Waters. Patrician, poppycock, penicillin, pennies. I'm not talking into the microphone, am I, Mr. Waters?
No. You sound lovely. Patricia, you're fine where you are.
Marvelous. Oscar, I fail to see why you've grown this sudden affection for... recording a rehearsal?
Paramount importance, Patricia. Paramount importance. See, Alice, how I didn't pop my peas?
Oh, yes.
And I must hear what the audience hears, my dear Patricia. It will shape the broadcast, shape the experience, shape the story. When we perform this play over the airwaves, it must be perfect, and thus the recording. And of course it will be helpful for future students of the theater to hear an early production of mine in its infant form.
Must be such a comfort to believe that in distant futures the multitudes will still marvel on your work.
It is truly a comfort.
I think it's exciting.
Thank you, Alice. Now, on to the play.
We finally get to see it, Mr. Waters?
Of course. We will be opening them together. Now, cast your gaze upon them. Every corner of the folios were sealed with hot wax, not to be opened until the first and only rehearsal.
Because when one thinks of mass entertainment over the airwaves, one thinks of avant-garde theater.
Patricia? Here, one for each of you. Foleyman, you too. Now, to embark on a voyage to the farthest reaches of your consciousness, to plumb the depths of theater and the heights of human experience, to perform Wingbeats on American soil for the very first time.
Do you want us to open ours too, Mr. Waters?
Yes, I was under the impression that my intention was clear.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Waters.
With a sense of drama, if you would.
The play hasn't started yet, Oscar.
Thank you, Foleyman. See? Dramatic. Now, to begin. An introduction to be read upon the first and only rehearsal. This introduction is to be read by the director slash primary actor slash being who bought the play. Everything on this page is to be read, including this sentence.
Oh, God.
The play requires 4 participants, 1 male actor slash director, 2 actresses, and 1 stage manager slash Foley artist. These participants will henceforth be known as King, Queen, Dancer, and Setting. Patricia, I have cast you as Queen. Alice, you will be Dancer.
Ooh, Dancer, how exciting.
Oh, at least I finally know who I'll be playing. You know, if I was a betting woman, I would have wagered those pages were blank.
I knew what the play was, Patricia.
Uh-huh.
Its forms, its themes, its requirements, its... reputation. I was simply waiting to open it. The antiquarians and I had an understanding. Now, to get back to the matter at hand. These participants will henceforth be known as King, Queen, Dancer, and Setting. The King, the Queen, and the Dancer will be required not simply to read their lines like automatons, but to create the worlds they inhabit, to reach deep within their psyches and make their stories a reality. Because in truth, all stories are real. In truth, they have already happened. This story is called Wingbeats. The play consists of 1 rehearsal in which the play is constructed in the minds of the participants, and 1 performance via radio in which the play will be constructed within and without the minds of its audience. There are 3 scenes. Scene 1 begins immediately after the introduction is read. Now turn the page, you pompous, self-centered boor?
Why did they have that in there?
It's a variation on the theater of cruelty, Alice. It's meant to be provocative. Now, to begin. One must always follow the script to the letter. Scene one. The king is instructed to explain how he came to acquire the play. The queen is instructed to ask any questions regarding this process that she deems necessary. The stage will accompany the explanation with music, as he or she deems necessary.
Oh, wonderful. It's not an actual script.
Patricia.
Is there anything I can do?
The script does not mention you, Alice, if you'll wait until the next scene. Folliman, accompany me via piano, if necessary, but be subtle about it. The focus should be on the monologue. Now. This was in Paris, last year, 1936.
Why were you in Europe? The script does say I am to ask questions.
I was in Europe on a journey of personal discovery to experience the old world's artistic accomplishments for myself before the winds of war became a gale.
And you had no other reasons to leave America?
None that are worth mentioning. As I said, this was Paris, 1937. There's an odd feeling about being in Paris. It was my first time there, and you hear so much about it, this center of arts and lights and culture. Your expectations, the picture in your mind, crashes against the reality of the city. Feels like being in an odd sort of dream, one in from which you could awaken at any moment. Now it was raining in this dream, Paris, a torrential downpour, sheets and sheets. Thank you. And as I was exploring the city, attempting to find Shakespeare and company and failing miserably.
And who are you exploring the city with?
No one. My companions were otherwise occupied. As it was raining, I stumbled into, I didn't exactly know what it was from the outside, but it looked like a shop, so I went in, hoping to wait out the storm. And as I entered, on one side there were books, floor to ceiling, arranged with no reason or purpose, jammed together. On the other, musical instruments, countless devices, violins and flutes and guitars and some other objects I don't know the name of, all arranged neatly with a perfect order. And in the center, two women, sitting next to each other behind a small piano, looking directly at me.
So this store sold instruments and books, both?
Yes. The women did not appear to know the difference.
Excuse me?
If you let me explain, Patricia, the women were sisters. Eccentric. They looked not similar exactly, but the same. The exact same eyes. Both seemed either very old or very young. I can't quite remember. Only one would talk at a time. The other would play the piano. And when the first sister was done talking... Thank you.
What were their names?
I didn't think to ask. I told them that I was attempting to get out of the rain, but I would love to browse their collection. They said that I looked like an artist.
Oh, you looked like an artist?
Yes.
Probably say that to everyone.
They told me to look through their catalog. As I was perusing the books, the women told me that the stories and the songs were connected, part of a whole. That eventually, people wouldn't need stories. They would just need songs. I disagreed on this point, obviously, and we discussed the nature of theater, my past work. It was an enlightening conversation.
Can you explain further?
The specifics are difficult to recall. It's been a year, and the talk had an effervescent quality to it. Nevertheless, the sisters told me that they had just the play for my particular talents. Wing Beats. I purchased it, and here we are.
And that is the entire story.
What would you like to know, Patricia?
Why you decided to put on this play, for one? You stumbled upon a bookstore. The clerks recommended a play, and you just had to put it on. Your trip to Europe was a bit more interesting than that.
I had heard of Wing Beats before. It seemed like everyone in Paris was talking of it in hushed breath. Everyone was dying to see it, but no one had the script. So, yes, I jumped at the chance to bring European theater techniques to America.
And that's all it was?
Yes. Now, shall we move to the next scene, or are more questions necessary?
Turn the page, Oscar.
Scene two, the dancer's childhood. The dancer should describe the circumstances of her childhood and then act out a pivotal moment in her development. The king takes on the role of the dancer's father, and the queen assumes the role of the dancer's mother.
Oh, I don't know how interesting my childhood would be. Maybe we could do yours instead, Mr. Waters, or we skip
this. Alice, we will be performing as per the script's instructions. Remember, one must always follow the script to the letter.
It's all right, Alice. Just set the scene and we'll pick up from there.
Oh, well, I grew up in Wisconsin, just outside a little town called Black River Falls. Oh, my parents owned a farm. I was an only child, and... oh, I did chores. I'd milk the cows. We didn't have too many cows, though. Not as many as everyone else. But it was Wisconsin, so we had a lot. And I'd farm in the garden. I had a little garden that I was in charge of. And oh, how I loved a garden. And I'm sorry. I don't really know what you want me to say. It was normal. Everything was normal.
No artist has a normal childhood, Alice. Something must have made you want to leave everything behind and come to New York.
Oh, the town just felt a little smaller and smaller as I grew older. I didn't want to marry a farmer and spend the rest of my life worrying. We were never poor, but it wasn't the best time to make a go of it, so I decided to move to New York and become a typist. But New York had other plans for me, I guess. And you know the rest of the story.
Tell us about your parents. What were they like?
Father was a stern man. All rules and order. He told me that a farmer can never control the weather, but he can sure well control his own house. He'd tell me that whenever I stayed out too late. He was short, too. I think he hated it when I grew taller than him, but he was sweet underneath it all. My mother, she worked so hard, did all the books and paperwork. Her skin was faded, like all that hard work was draining everything from her. Her face was pinched. She told me that I looked nothing like her, that the only way she knew I was her daughter was that she'd seen the birth herself. Is that enough?
Yes, thank you.
The play requires a pivotal scene, Alice. Can you think of something?
Oh.
Perhaps the moment when you decided to strike out for yourself, abandon your provincial life with its small-town minds and small-town values, to thrust yourself against the rising fortunes...
I was young when the foot and mouth came, and we had to destroy our animals. That was an important moment. Father and mother were talking about what they had to do, but I heard... and I came in to ask what was going to happen.
Patricia?
I think we can act out a version of that. I'm sure it will make for some scintillating radio.
I just don't know what to do, Martha. There's ain't...
Her name wasn't...
No, it's not important, Alice. Insurance should cover it. We've never missed a payment.
Think they won't find a way to squirrel out of it? Mark my words, if we see one red cent from Mutual, it'll be a sign of the second coming.
Oh, Richard, don't you talk about the Lord like that.
Jesus will understand me, Martha. If I remember my Bible, he held no love for the moneylenders.
Still?
I'm sorry, Martha, I don't.
I know. Richard, I know.
Ma? Pa?
I thought we told you to go to bed.
I couldn't sleep.
When your mama tells you to go to sleep, you go to sleep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. You want a glass of milk?
Yes, please. Thank you. Is everything going to be all right? Why'd we have to kill our cows, Pa?
They were sick, Alice. We didn't want the sickness to spread.
It was only some blisters.
Oh, we'll be fine. The insurance will pay. And we'll get some new cows.
But Pa said...
What have we told you about snooping?
But...
You're old enough to know better, Alice. You run that little garden all by yourself, don't you? Which means you're old enough to hear it. Insurance might not pay out, bunch of...
Might, and they probably will.
And even if they don't, we'll find a way to get by. It's what we always do, right, Alice?
Right, Pa.
My Might need to tighten our belts, is all.
Mm-hmm. Might need to go up into the attic and...
How did you know about the attic?
Alice, that's where we have all our bank information.
You told me we didn't go to the attic. We never go to the attic.
Don't you speak to your mother that way. You aren't to go to the attic because there's old equipment there. Don't want you going and cutting yourself to pieces.
Promise me you won't go into the attic, Pa.
I don't.
Alice, why are you so scared of the attic?
We thought you were ready to be part of the grown-ups conversation, but if you're scared of the attic...
I'm not scared. You just told me never to go.
Well, we're saying it's okay. But that's not... Now, we need to talk about how we're going to get a new herd of milkers.
No.
Alice.
If the attic is really safe, take me there. Show me.
Oh, Alice. I don't know what's gotten into you. Why don't we talk more about how we're going to keep our farm?
The attic is all that is in my mind.
Well, if you think this is a pivotal moment for you, then we'll take you to the attic.
Are we sure?
You know how children get ideas in their heads now, Alice.
Lead on.
All right. Just so you don't worry.
Up the stairs.
First step. Second step. Third step.
Alice.
You told me to count. Fourth step. Fifth step. Sixth step. Seventh step. Eighth step. Ninth step. Tenth step. 11th step. 12th step. 13th step. 14th step.
Now, Alice, once this door's open, I want to stop all this foolishness. Okay? We need to talk about what we're going to do as a family.
See, if you open this door...
Open it.
Now...
Shh. And the scene ends here.
Alice, are you...
Oh, I'm fine. That was a good scene, wasn't it? Very, what did you call it? Avant-garde?
Avant-garde. You made some very interesting choices.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Waters.
Now, onward. Scene 3, the court. A decayed and aging palace. The dancer is entertaining the king and queen when a messenger arrives, bearing grave news. The king, the queen, and the dancer each play their respective roles. The messenger is voiceless. His dialogue should be a mixture of sound effects and music, as per the setting's discretion. The scene ends on the setting's volition. The queen is the first to speak.
And who is it that has come before our court, unannounced and unheralded?
Yes, answer, my queen. We will know who claims you.
And are the borders not always so? Dear, do we have to listen to him? He does drone on, and I grow bored.
Yes, yes, fire and damnation. We have heard this song before, but we all have our roles to play. The people are our body, in a sense.
In a very small sense.
So tell me, unnamed messenger, what frightens our people?
Our body.
But he will not act on it, surely not.
He is fed, and well satisfied with the lands we give him. Silence! I will hear no more from an unheralded messenger.
Dancer, chase away the memory of this man.
Dancer, why are you not obeying us?
I am unable to fulfill your request, my queen.
And why ever not?
I have heard the messenger's words, and I am much frightened.
Fear not, he will not come to harm.
But I see such things when the messenger speaks. I hear music. And I see visions.
What do you see when the messenger speaks?
Messenger? Would you... with dancers. There is music, but it's nothing I've ever heard before. The dancers are waltzing, perhaps. The steps are complicated, and I can't quite follow them. I am standing on the edge of everything, and I'm not sure when I am supposed to join them. If I am supposed to join them at all, I want to, I think. It seems so pleasurable and free and familiar, but there is a small voice in the back of my mind that tells me I shouldn't. The voice sounds like my mother. The dancers are clothed in yellow, and they wear masks made of a material I can't quite place. But the faces under the masks. The faces under the masks.
And scene.
Scene. The play was only supposed to have three.
Scene four is to be read by setting, accompanied by the music he or she creates. Scene four requires a simple question to be asked of the king, the queen, and the dancer. The question is this. Think upon the previous scenes, cast your mind into them and inhabit the space and the story of the play. What setting do you see? What is the setting of scene four? The king will answer first.
It is a stage, a stage without end. Behind me, the platform stretches out endlessly. There are no props, no other actors. And in front of me, the audience is seated on velvet red chairs, stained chairs. The audience, their heads are shrouded, wrapped in yellow rags that seem to move about their faces. I can see no expression, but I can tell they are displeased.
The queen will answer second.
I don't exactly see what this has to do with...
The queen will answer second.
Remember, one must always follow the script to the letter.
I see a tavern in a small fishing village. The damp seeps in everywhere, the light does not. The drinks are cheap, and they taste it. The fishermen crouched around the bar never speak. Everyone in the village shares a secret. Something about the deep that they try not to tell outsiders. The darkness grows stronger and they shiver against the wet and the cold.
The dancer will answer third.
Oh, it's the attic. Of course it's the attic.
And scene. The denouement is to be read by setting. Thus ends the rehearsal.
But we didn't rehearse.
The final script will be written by setting, based upon the images and stories created by the king, the queen, and the dancer.
Well, I...
The final script will be written in the span of less than 1 week, and the play will be performed no more than 2 weeks hence. The king, the queen, and the dancer will be given the script immediately prior to the performance. Fin.
Now, that is simply outrageous. Obviously, I will be the one to write the final script.
The script says otherwise, Oscar Waters.
Foleyman, listen to me now.
I happen to have a name.
All right, Mark. It's...
You should let him write it, Oscar.
Alice, I hired you because you were pliable.
Oh, pliable.
Open to direction.
Mm. Oscar, if you don't let him write the script, then you aren't really performing the play, are you? You're performing some...
Abomination.
Thanks, Mark. Abomination, that's just the word.
Now, I...
If you want to do avant-garde theater, do the damn avant-garde theater. I'm not going to waste any more of my time acting in a bastardized play. Remember, one must always follow the script to the letter.
Oscar Waters, the play is a ritual. It's like all stories in that way. And specific instructions must be followed in order for it to have its proper impact, to touch and alter the minds of people listening to it.
But You have script experience? You're a sound man, and a new one. At that, you've only been in the company a matter of days.
I have experience doing what must be done.
If the play requires it.
Wonderful. I believe we're finished recording. Absolutely wonderful. I will see you all at the final performance. If you'll excuse me, I have a lot of work to do.
Archive 81, The Golden Age, will return on Wednesday, June 21st. You can spend the hours until that moment by talking about us on various forms of social media. We have a Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and even a Reddit page. You can also support us by going to patreon.com/archive81 and donating. We appreciate your support. This peek into our shared past was brought to you by Casper, which is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Humans spend a third of their lives asleep, dreaming of things that have happened, things that are happening, and things that might yet come to pass. Casper realizes that, for your voyages into strange and ethereal dreamscapes, it's important to have a good mattress. A Casper mattress is made of supportive memory foam for a sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. You can try sleeping on a Casper mattress. Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period to the US and Canada. However, if you happen to be trapped in either an alternate universe of thought and desire, or the 1930s, the offer does not apply. You can save an additional $50 toward a mattress purchase by going to casper.com/deadsignals and entering the promo code deadsignals. That's casper.com/deadsignals and promo code deadsignals. Terms and conditions apply. We are Droman. Even as you are discovering more about our past, remember that we are Droman. We will return with the second episode of Archive 81, The Golden Age, on Wednesday, June 21st.